one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay the prices high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive, don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
It will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this... It's almost sunrise out here in just outside of Laramie, Wyoming this morning. A little chilly, 10 degrees this March 18th, 2023, but that's okay. It's still wintertime, at least through the weekend it is, but we welcome you here. And Brother Paul, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
And Brother Tim from Nebraska, hey, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And I don't know if anybody else came on there in the last little bit, but we say, Remnant, welcome, and good morning to you out there wherever you may be. We thank you for joining us. Got a live program this morning. The phone lines are open, and we'd be glad to take your call. And we're going to open up in prayer, and Tim, would you do the honors of opening us up this morning in prayer?
I'd be delighted. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this day, Lord, and we ask that you bless this day, this week, and this year. Oh God, we just pray that you would remember grace and mercy towards your people in the midst of your wrath against your enemies. And Lord, that you would protect our families and our homes. And Lord, that you would just keep us in the hollow of your hand, in the shelter of the rock. We ask that you would bless us in our endeavors that are pleasing and honoring to you, and Lord, that you would prosper the work of our hands and all that we undertake, that we might give you all honor and all glory for the benefits that we receive. Lord, we claim every promise in the book over your people, both known and unknown, and Lord, we ask that you'd forgive our sins and trespasses, both known and unknown. Lord, that you would put in us a clean heart, our new heart, and clean hands, Lord, that we might serve you with fervor, and that we might be about our Father's business daily. Make this broadcast a blessing to those who are listening in. Lord, put words in our mouth that are what need to be there. And just grant us every good thing. Oh, Lord, we pray and ask in the name of Jesus Christ and by his blood we pray it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Tim. And again, Remnant, it's a live program, so the phone lines are open this morning, 307 745-5913. And lots going on. You know, more and more people are just absolutely waking up to the things that are happening are just not by happenstance. It's not just circumstance that these things happen. We've got, I think most people have gotten our Volume 2 Dragon Slayer that we got mailed out. Miss Irene in Texas let me know. She got hers Wednesday, I think. And so hopefully you've been getting them in. And it's entitled America is a Train Wreck. And certainly it talks about the train wreck last month in Ohio and the mess that that is. But it really is symbolic of the train wreck that America has become. And so we hope that, Tim, as you prayed, this broadcast would be an encouragement to the people. You know, we hope that that these Dragon Slayer newsletters are just that, and that they show time and time and time again that this nation is that new JERUSALEM that the word talks about. That the people here, the events of the day are another another mark of Israel, you might say, that these things are happening because of the turning away from our God, and so we hope that again that it's a blessing to you. If you haven't, if you're not on our newsletter mailing list, you can give us your address. We'd be glad to send you one. And got the online newsletter emailed out yesterday afternoon, and so for those of you that get it that way via email, we got that done. The 2022 solar year ends today and tomorrow. Monday is a Happy New Year type of thing. And so the solar year starts Monday with the spring equinox, and I don't know about you folks, but I'm ready for spring. I am. And so we're looking forward to that. So today and tomorrow, a couple of 91st days, and then Monday starts the new solar year, and those days start counting again. And then 14 days later, the 14th day of Abib, as the Bible puts it, is Passover. And that will be April 2nd, Sunday, April 2nd. And we're planning on a little earlier in the evening get-together and Passover service at the La Porte Church of Christ. So we hope you'll join us Sunday, April 2nd, 6 p.m. Mountain, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, and 5 p.m. on the West Coast for the Passover service. So kind of we start the letter from the editor out that way to remind you, to let you know that again, it's that time of the year. It is kind of a the old Lang Syne song, you know, the old year wraps up, and with the spring coming, a new year. And so we're excited to get into that new year and see what God has in store for us. Tim, what do you see? What do you see headlining this week?
I had kind of an interesting take on things. I was watching a show, and they were talking. It's interesting. They've had a lot of bank failures. And I mean, you know, like last weekend they had like, what was it? Three, I think. And, they're talking, the FDIC is making all these noises about one more bank failure and they're underwater. And of course, they were interviewing Grant Cardone and, who's a rich guy. The thing that interests me is, of course, he's pushing crypto as a way to protect yourself. And I was just sitting there thinking about, and I'm not a crypto fan, by the way. I just think it's another one of those ungodly non-just weights and measures type thing. And but I was, it occurred to me that, you know, they wanted, they have tried for years to move us into a cashless, quote unquote, society. And I think this is just a dodge to do that. I mean, I think that they want to, and in effect, that goes against the, it's not the money thing that bothers me. It's the lack of just weights and measures, because it's not real. It has no substance. It's not created by work or labor or anything tangible. And I think it flies in the face of God. Just not that, not that the current system doesn't do that either, but it's just a furthering of the way that they can do it with absolutely no oversight, and take things away from people, continue to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And but anyways, that was one of the things that I seen that was an interesting thing. Hence the thought that, you know, God's got to take care of His people. And I can remember Peter talking to us one time at the table and saying that, well, you know, the real deal was, is nothing went anywhere. They just didn't have any money to pay the bills. You know, that was the issue. And I'm not old enough to have lived through that, but I listened to a lot of the people that did, and that seems to be the common thing back in the dirty 30s and that time frame, was they had everything but money. You know? And they if you lived on a farm, you had food, you had your farm ground and everything else. You just didn't know how to, anything that you needed to use a medium of exchange on, it wasn't available, and because they dried it all up. And that's what they want to do. It's just another one of those, this is the manner of the king that will be over you. And I think that they're all involved in that. And it just interests me to look at that. I thought that was kind of a heads up kind of moment. So that was one of the things that I was going to bring.
Tim, I had seen a headline. I hadn't had a chance to really look into it, but that the Silicon Valley and the Signature Bank, these two big ones that failed, were real big into this, or what do they call it? Oh, they had a significant exposure to the technology sector and the cryptocurrency. And I just can't help but think that. You know, especially on this technology side, with all the mess we've had with China and everything going on there, that it just seems like, yeah, maybe it's I don't know, too much too fast, or like you mentioned, you know, just no real oversight on what they're doing. They're talking about having all this growth and all this new jobs from the technology sector and all this, and then here it is. Not really so, you know, not holding together, so to speak. So I wasn't sure if you'd seen anything on that, or if it was just that's what those banks, you know, had done, focusing on the technology sector.
It all goes back to the sons of AI in the Bible, you know, I mean, and I'm always reminded of, you know, what's the big glitz right now? AI, AI, AI. You know, you got to have you want a new AI friend on Faceblank, or you want a new, you know, whatever, sign in, and they're trying to put all these AI search engines in and everything else. And if you go back into there's at least eight mentions of the sons of AI in the Bible, and that none of them were good. They were all, they all caused God's people a lot of trouble.
You know? Yes.
And so I think a lot of times that, I think there's a lot of parallels there when we look at it. Here that comes again, you know what I mean? So, and it's just the same old donkey coming out of Babylon again, you know, broken down, decrepit, and walking sideways. And we're seeing that. We see that happen, and it's like, well, they don't have any new tricks, you know, really. I mean, they've been running the same scenarios for a very long time. They can dress them up in some different clothes, but at the end of the day, they're the same ones. Are you going to fall for it, you know? I mean, or are you going to and it doesn't matter what they say or what they do, but it's just, it just leaves me astounded, that's all. It's like, well, isn't that interesting? So.
Yeah, I think it's I think it ties in with this, you know, the O'Biden financials are not as hidden as they once were. The bribes and the mess that's been going on, the millions that the O'Biden family has gotten from China and all this, that you know, it's not just a conspiracy theory, you know, as more and more are coming out with it. And I think that it ties right in with these bank failures, that that it's these things that have been done in the dark are coming to light, just as the scripture says that they will. And that these things that have been hidden, that these enemies of God have done and think that they've gotten away with it, think that they've pulled the wool over the eyes of the people, and that they're scot-free, that that they're coming to light. And so it is encouraging, you know, at least knowing that as Brother Paul has said, you know, it's part of Babylon falling. It's their house of cards, you know, a piece over here falls and is not quite the way we thought it was, and over here on the other coast, you know, there's another failure of this Babylon, and it just continues.
I seen on the bottom of a screen somewhere the other day, there's just a sentence on the bottom, and it said, "We don't need 5,000 banks," you know, and what makes me think that there's an internal conspiracy go on amongst themselves, because the only bond in Washington D.C. is greed, and the only thing in the bank is greed, because they don't care about productivity and how the people live. It's just how much they can skim off their lives. But it just hit me that we don't need 5,000 banks. So this, I think some of them people are happy to see them go, because somebody's going to pick it up, and it's still hollow. I mean, it's going to go until it's all gone. But there's no love amongst those people, period. And our people have grown cold too, for that matter.
And that's a true fact. The infighting is just crazy, isn't it? I mean, when we look at it, a lot of people mistake the infighting between those power grabbers as, well, oh, they're on our side. And it's like, no, they're on. they're just on their side, you know. But it's not that one side. So it's there's not just two sides to the coin, there's the edge too. So it's yeah, exactly, good point.
Well, you take economics, God said we gotta, every 7 years we gotta have a Sabbath and jubilees and stuff like that, and that's totally ignored by our people. And, you know, there's so many simple things. Oh, no, man, nothing. You know, people have got, you know, somewhere it says in the Bible that man got rich on a loan. And how many times does that happen? You know, your heritage is, your land is your heritage, you know. And most people have been driven from their land. The big farmers that play the game, they buy it up. But they're going to go someday, too. The last chapter of Second Chronicles said the land will get its Sabbath. You know, and I believe that to be true. This isn't over yet. And it's coming, because the thing of it is, like the Titanic going down, when that sucker goes down, get away, because it's going to draw a lot of people in. And that's the same thing we've got going here. It's going to take a lot of people down, because that's what they believe in. There is another way. You know, you know how well you can live on so little money with 10 children, don't you, Richard?
Yes. Yeah, God provides. So, yeah. You know, and I remember Pastor preaching on that one time, talking about, and he wasn't talking about us. We had just moved out here, geez, over 20 years ago, but talking about that he had seen that that people that had larger families, that they got, for the most part, they got by. You know, they got by. Now, I drove a new vehicle once. I actually bought a new vehicle once in 1988, 2 years before my first son was born. And, you know, drove that till the wheels fell off or till the engine blew. But, it's if you're not concerned with the economics of the world, with keeping up with the Joneses, as they say, right? The neighbor down the road, oh, he got a new Jeep. So guess what I got to get? I'm going to get a new Bronco then and one up that new Jeep. Or, you know, they got a pool put in. Well, I'm getting a pool and I'm going to screen it in. How about that? And it just, you know, but that's Babylon. That's the world. Don't worry about, you know, what you don't see is that those people are up to their ears in debt. They are drowning in that debt. We decided long ago, it's like, hey, let's just turn this over to God. And you know, he hasn't failed us yet. He hasn't.
Well, and, you know, these people have all these things. They ain't all in debt. Some of them just flat got the money. And, it, you know, you can't, you know, I travel the roads with sales, and I look at a farm woman, they look the same from the road. One owns everything he says, and the other one don't own the toilet he sits on. I mean, it's just the way it is. You can't tell by the prosperity of a person whether he has it or hasn't, but right. It's the priorities. You know, God wants us to have nice things. You know, Abraham was a rich man, but he put God first right to the end, so, and that's the difference.
Yeah.
So.
Amen. It is.
Yeah, it's one of my wife's favorite verses that she always claimed when we were younger was Psalms 37:25. It says, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging for bread, you know, and that's, you know, it's like, hang on to it. And I think the difference is, and I actually was going to say something kind of akin to what you just said, Paul, but I've noticed some people sometimes due to circumstance, they end up with a little more debt or a little more problems. But the difference is the righteous or the godly people, their attitude about all that is much different. It's like, well, God took care of it this way, God will take care of that, you know,
right.
And that's fine. And a lot of, and there's other people out there who, particularly people who seem to have lots, and like you said, I don't know whether it's actually they have it or whether they're into the financial institutions that do, but they just lay awake and worry about it all the time. No, and it's like, well, you know, God makes a way for it to happen, and whatever that way is, it's right, righteous, and as long as you have the righteousness in your life, and you're trying to serve the living God, why, you know, the rest of it'll fall in line, and I think a lot of times that's the difference. So,
amen.
And the yardstick people use. So
that's right, hanging on to that, you know, clinging to that promise, and like you said, Tim, you know, that promise of Psalms 37, you know, when we go back to you know, that's a praise to God every time we do that. Lord, this is what your word says, and I'm going to believe it. And when we believe his word, when we are doers of his word, when we, like his word says, seek first the kingdom, and all these other things will be added to you. When we do that, then it is. It's not that all of a sudden you got more money than you know what to do with, but you have that peace. You have that understanding, that contentment, I guess, that, you know, is part of that abundant life that Jesus Christ offers. Let's try the phone lines this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, brethren, brothers Paul, Tim and Richard, who are all the other brethren on the line. This is Brother John Kevin in Buffalo, New York. So grace and peace and wisdom and holy boldness to all of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Tim, at the very end, when I get off here, could you, you mentioned the eight sons of Ai. I had never thought of that. Can you just say a little more on that? I didn't even know there was eight sons of Ai. So I'll have to check that out. Pastor Peters, he had a teaching from the effect it was called, like, let them be caught in their own plots. And it was out of Isaiah 14 and, you know, mainly in some other places. And in Isaiah 14, 20 and 21, it says, thou shalt not be joined with them in burial because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. This is out of the King James. Another translation says, the offspring of evildoers shall never be renowned. Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, you know, for how many of our sons that they've slain, that they do not rise nor possess the land nor fill the face of the world with wars. War. Another translation says cities. On one thing you guys were saying, there's also another tie into this crypto and all that. I don't know if you gentlemen, Tim, you were mentioning, are aware, but the software for the crypto was written by an occult black magic guy. He wrote it and got the inspiration from the devil. He wrote it on the devil's, high holy day, high devil's day of Halloween. He wrote it on Halloween, and it's all written with black magic. So it is totally satanic. In addition to what you were talking about, the no hard labor on it, you know, no sweat and blood and no equal weights and measures. And then one other thing is on these bank failures, it's also tied into, I believe, I mean, I can't prove it, but by the Spirit of God, it's tied in. There's a prosecutor down in Virginia in the Virgin Islands, and she was fired over the, she was fired, I think it was January 1st or 2nd. Ties into Joe Biden hasn't been down to the Virgin Islands. I guess he's got some vacation home down there. And he went down there, and there was a headline where he went in between holiday, in between his vacations. Like, you know, like, oh, that isn't that nice? You got so many vacations. You take vacations in between vacations. And any in between holidays or something. And he went down to the Virgin Islands. And a couple of days later, this prosecutor, who was a woman in the Virgin Islands, who's been putting all kind of heat on the big central banks, she's won two cases against the pedo guy Jeffrey Epstein estate. She won a $150 million lawsuit against his estate, and she won one against one of, I think it was Deutsche Bank. And there's also heat on, help me God, there's heat on like Wells Fargo, Citibank, all the big player banks, and what's his name, Goldman Sachs, sacking the gold of men. Just reverse their words. That's what they do. They sack the gold of people. So there's subpoenas on these big banks she put on. And like I said, she's won two cases. One was $150 million. I can't remember what the other one was. And then right after that, Joe Biden goes down there, hasn't been down that way for years, they said. And it was like a Burisma deal. Remember over there in Ukraine where he threatened a prosecutor or something and said, get this guy fired? You know, you wonder. But how many people's names this prosecutor in Virgin Islands, was putting all kind of heat on the big banks and on the people that were on the light logs, you know, that some judge sealed the records, because I guess some certified tough guy probably went to him and said, you close these records or we're, you know, put a bullet in your head or something. Well, Pastor Peter spoke in that sermon of his, there is a remnant who's not afraid, as you men have been teaching and encouraging us, you know, several weeks on being as a David versus the Goliath, be as a Gideon. Tear down the altars of Baal and watch what Jesus Christ does. And I'll just leave it there and hear from you. But Tim, if you could just add about that Ai, the eight sons. I'll have to look that up. Praise God. Thank you, man.
Thank you, John.
Well, Joshua 8:28 talks about, if you go through Joshua, Ai shows up in there all over. It's also in 1st and 2nd Samuel, and David had battles with Ai clear back. Ai was a thorn in the Israelite side for a long time, but the culmination of the story was Joshua 8:28, where it says Joshua burnt Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation into this day. And I think what we're seeing there is satanic might and majesty seeks to create they want to copy God all the time. That's what it amounts to. Whatever God's got, they want theirs to be better. We were just talking about that business with people in their life, and keep up with the Joneses, make it better. And Satan seeks that kind of recognition constantly, and so do his followers, his children, and although he doesn't have children, but, his minions. And I think that... And he does have children, because it says you're of your father, the devil, but they're made in a different way. But the fact was that Ai was put to bed back there in Joshua 8:28 and destroyed after they had routed Israel and caused all kinds of problems with them. But they're trying to resurrect that now, and this new Ai has all of the, if you think about it, it has all of the aspects of the Savior as far as from a world perspective. It lives forever, it's all knowing, it has all this power that they're granting to it, like, oh, it's so smart, when we look at that. So they're trying to resurrect it from being a heap and a desolation, and you can color it however you want, but I just think it's significant that Peter used to talk about that terrible terrors. Remember the book? There's a lot of those words that are the same, even though they'd like you to think that they mean something different. They really don't. So that's probably about all the time we have right now going to it. But it's a significant thing, I believe. I think the Bible, God has all the answers. The Bible has the answers that we need. Like Paul said, you want to talk about healing your land financially, physically, it's in the Bible. You want to talk about how to get along with your children, it's in the Bible. Every single question you have is answered. Whether you are enlightened enough by the Spirit to understand it or apply it, now that's a different question. But if you pray and you ask with an open heart and you study to show yourself approved, the sword of the word will divide it and lay it bare to the bone so that you can find that answer.
Amen. Amen. Well, Remnant, again, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. And just as we mentioned about the things that are done in the dark coming to light, that happened back in that Joshua 7 and 8, because there was sin among the people, and that prevented or that allowed Ai, the town, the city, the people to win, to conquer, to have victory, and when the sin in the camp was removed, well then. The Ai was defeated, at least here in Joshua 7 and 8. And I think that's that's one for us to remember as well, is that we have victory when we claim those promises, when we do our best to turn away from sin. That's been the definition that many people think of it. The Christian is the guy running away from sin. The sinner is running towards it, embracing it. And when we turn away from it, when we have nothing to do with it, instead we don't look to this Babylonian system for our health, safety, and welfare, but we look to the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his promises of untold blessings, unbelievable blessings, just for doing what he says do. And boy, that runs in so stark a contrast with you know, what you hear from the Judeo-Christians today, where they say there's nothing you can do, that Jesus did it all. And so you just have to, you know, say you're a sinner and accept Jesus as your personal Savior. That's what they tell you to do. And, you know, I've asked people that have told me that, and where's that in the Bible? Where can I find that scripture? I'd like to see that. And they just draw a blank. And see, because they've been sold a bill of goods that has no foundation, that has no, oh, it sounds good and it feels good, but it has no foundation, you know. If you want to look, if you're convicted of sin and you want to find out what to do, look at Acts 2:38, because that says, you who crucified Christ, there in 2:36 and 37. You know, Paul had, or Peter had convicted them of, they were the ones that had crucified Christ. And they said, what do we do? And he said, repent and be baptized, and you'll for the forgiveness of sin, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. Now, yeah, does, you know, in other places, in Hebrews and Romans and stuff, do we read, he who believes will be saved? Yeah, because you got to believe. It all ties together. But you can't take one verse, you know, like that, he who believes in the Lord will be saved, and just ignore the rest of them. And that's what so many do. They want the easy way out, the soundbite. You know, what must I do to be saved? Isn't that what, was that what Cornelius had said? You know, him and his whole household repented and were baptized there in Acts. Anyway, I didn't mean to get off on that tangent, but, you know, it is the simplicity of the gospel. And then there's that blessed assurance that comes, like you said, Tim, you and your wife, with Psalms 37:25, that God's blessings are there. And there's a peace that's there. It doesn't say that there's an understanding, that all of a sudden you will understand everything and have no rough roads, and it'll just be smooth sailing on a sea of glass and just nirvana from now on. And no, that's not what it says either. But there's that peace that surpasses all understanding. There's that assurance of his word. You know, like Romans 8:28, that he works all things for good for those that love him. And until you go through some of those all things, it's kind of hard to understand that. But when God puts you through some of those things, that it might be hard. It might be hard to understand. But he does work all things for good.
Well, I'm reminded of when Paul was talking about the sabbatical years and the jubilee years. I talked to a fellow here not very long ago about some of that, and it was, and it's strange. He's a Judeo-Christian, I guess. Let's call him that. That probably fits. But it's interesting to me that he just could not wrap his head around the fact of all debts canceled. But what about when people owe me money? What about, I go, you don't have any debts anymore. Well, yeah, but then I'll go broke. And it's like, you won't have any debts anymore. And we seesawed back and forth on that for like, you know, it was just like, and I finally was like, well, another way to say that would be debtor in possession. You own it. Whatever you've got, when it's canceled, it's yours. And I said, what do you think it would do to the price on housing market and the farm market and everything else if you dropped it to 7 years? If there wasn't anything longer than 7 years, why wouldn't that change the price of it? Because you couldn't, you inflation is now gone, you know, regardless of what money type you're using, you no longer have an issue with that. And he was just, I was, and I have the, I guess I have, and I'm not saying I'm really all that great, but I have this, well, if God says it'll work, you know?
Right.
But he didn't.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so it was kind of a, I just was kind of like, wow, Lord, what a lot of resistance to something that you said, this is the way it needs to be done. You know, this is how I designed the system to work. So, well, yeah, and if you didn't farm on the seventh year, well, how would you make any money? You don't need any. Everything was forgiven, you know? I mean, you, like, but really, really, God has, he has his ways, and I guess they really are far from our ways, you know, when you look at some of these folks.
They are. They are. You know, there'd be enough the sixth year to carry you through. Again, it comes down to faith and belief. What do you believe in? You know, do you believe that the way that this world is going is right? Do you believe that is is a good thing, or do you believe what the Word of God says? That like Malachi 3:10, when he says, "Trust me now in this, test me now," not trust, but test me now in this and see. And every one of God's promises are that way. You can test him in that seventh year, that land Sabbath. You can test him in that. You can test him when it comes to tithes and offerings. You can test him when it comes to, believing that, that those that trust in him and their children won't beg bread. Won't have to beg bread, that they'll be delivered. You can test him in that those that obey him, like that widow that the prophet came to. Hey, you take care of me first. Make me a little something to eat. I'm hungry. And she's like, I'm making for me and my son, and then we're going to die. And he's like, well, take care of me first. And she obeyed, and she lived, and her family lived. And the word said there were a lot of widows that died in that day, but not that one. Not that one. Because she obeyed. And if you believe that, if you believe, back to that Romans 8:28, that he works all things for good for those that love him. You know, you can't do anything about the all things. You can't do anything, you know, because it happens. Life happens. And it rains on the just and the unjust. But you can have the right attitude. You can know and trust that, Lord, I don't know why this is happening, but I'm going to trust that you are going to work it out for good, because that's what your word says. And that that changes things. You know, like you said, Tim, that's the right attitude. That causes things to be different. It just does.
Well, it's just simple. Who makes the rules? You have Roman Catholicism, which Rome and just about all your Judeo-Christians are run by Roman law instead of Christian law. And it's just that simple. It's one, whose law is it going to be? Yours or his? It's that simple. You know, and we're off the tracks for sure, and I don't know how we're going to fix it, but what I understand, that Liberty Bell cracked on a Jubilee because they didn't keep it. So, getting back on that track, I don't exactly know how to get there, but we're going to get there one way or another. I'll guarantee you that, because God will not be mocked. So,
amen.
Take it for your affirmation and then apply it.
That's right. That's right. And I think that we, like Pastor had taught, we don't have the completed kingdom here. No, it's not. It's a mess right here. But within that, all throughout our history, God has delivered his people through these types of times. And who was it that he delivered through? It was the ones that were obedient. He delivered Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, go, and Lot went. Now, other things happened later, but in that instance, Lot was delivered because he obeyed what God said to do. And it's that way throughout the scriptures. He didn't bring all of the children of Israel out of Egypt. He brought the ones that put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel and did what he said do. Those were the ones he brought out, the ones that were obedient.
Look at the founding of this country. George Washington spent a winter in Valley Forge on his knees praying, and he beat the biggest army in the world, which was just not hardly believable, but God delivered him. And that's it. You know, England at the time had, they said the sun never set on their kingdom, and they had a powerful army, and he whipped them. Well, God whipped them because he trusted them, and that's the way it's got to be. We're at tremendous odds right here now, but Joe Biden and the whole crony are on self-destruct, whether you know it or not. Now, they're pulling some strings and creating a lot of damage to some people. But you take that lady that got fired, you know, she'll be rewarded because she stood her ground, and God likes those kind of people. You know, he just does. Somebody will stand on the truth and not let the, you know, the Epstein crew, you knew who all has been down or who knows, and you know it's ugly, and you know it's worldwide. So, and they're fighting for survival right now, whether you know it or not. And see, there's no unity among those people, really, because when you take the dollar out or somebody gets in trouble, they'll sacrifice you at a drop of a hat.
That's right.
So, well, it's kind of the old saying, if God is for us, who can be against us? You know, I mean, you're never alone. I mean, when you step out in the faith and power of God's commands, he's with you. And it may be a win, lose, or draw moment, but God has a plan there that facilitates. So, you know, it's like, well, Lord, you said to do this, I'm going to do it. So I think that when we have that sacrificial faith, that's what I'm going to call it, is such that it's like, well, and I'm always reminded of another verse that I've always kind of held to is God loves justice more than a sacrifice. And if we don't live in an unjust system right now, I don't know what we live in.
Right.
There is no justice. So when we see that going on around us, God's not happy about it, any way you want to slice it. So.
And he gives us the stories, you know, the stories of David, the stories of Joseph, that, you know, didn't just accept God as their personal savior and then everything was just perfect. That's not how the stories go. No, the stories are of hardship and endurance and fixing to be overrun and then God coming through, you know, when there was no other help. And those are stories for encouragement for us today, you know, to see that, you know, that Joseph had to go through all that he had to go through, but God had good plans for him, and God used all of that to save his people and to save all the people there in Egypt. And just like with David, you know, David went through it and had trouble with, you know, with the king, his father-in-law, and almost got overrun and taken, you know, by him several times, and then had trouble where he even had to go into the camp of the enemy for a season. But it was all God working it all for good, for his purpose. And they are. They're lessons for us for today, so that when we have bank failures and we have, the Bible being put out as hate speech and getting arrested for praying, you know, I've seen in Canada and England arresting people for praying silently 100 yards away from an abortion clinic. That's how scared to death the enemy is that we can't have anybody praying within 100 yards of one of these places, because that'll shut it down. That's how scared the enemy is. And so we see these things happening, and many times we say, oh, well, that's bad, that these people are getting arrested for protesting the sin and for praying and stuff. And it's like, no, it's good, because there's some people that still need to be woken up. There's some people that, you know, that see that, that aren't afraid, that aren't fearful of our enemy. And that in itself is that sign of destruction for them. And I think we're seeing more and more of those signs, that, you know, that people are turning back to the Word. They aren't just believing, you know, what that that smooth talking guy on Sunday talks about, but they're looking at the Word and seeing, and that's a good thing. You know, when these hardships, when these trials come, like Brother Paul, you've always mentioned, it's always an encouragement to me to remember the truths that you speak about that. You know, that more money and easier times are not what draw us closer to God and closer to His kingdom. Those are just the false promises that this world promotes.
Poverty and hunger bring us closer to Him than anything. You know, that's sometimes I guess like the Israelites just really can't handle prosperity. You know, like I read that Founding Father said, the education has to be taught with a foundation of a supreme being, or else they become atheists. And this is where we're at. We think this technology is so great out of the Silicon Valley. It's not, because you don't have the basics. You know, when I homeschooled the kids, I wouldn't let them have a calculator until they're in high school. You know, they made a push a pencil and works and mentally do how it works. And then when you lose that, then you're in trouble. You got to depend on somebody else. We'll come back to basics. Now, this is my personal opinion, but I believe that the world has gotten into a state of technology that we have been more than once before. You know, you take it's just buried out in the Pacific there. It's underwater. Anyway, I think they said that they left Earth at will, you know, back then, too. So I think we get, even the Tower of Babel, I think we get too high and God can flatten us. He put us back on a horse and buggy and start all over. And I do believe that has happened. I think this might be the grand finale, though.
What does it say? To him who have eyes, let him see, and ears, let him hear. I mean, it's there's a lot of that stuff coming up.
Well, just like the farmer you talked to, he's double-minded. You know, he goes to church, but even does the things the other way. You know, and he just can't even grasp it. But the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Right. And that's the problem with Judeo-Christianity. Judaism and Christianity are incompatible.
Amen. And that's how they've been taught.
Exactly.
That's how they've been taught. They've been taught that, oh, this is just the way it is. And some people go along with it, but there's some that just, no, that's just not quite right.
Well, don't believe us either. You stick your nose in that Bible and prove us wrong or prove us right, whatever you want to do, but just don't take us as supreme to anybody. We've all come through the rough road where we got and rejected Judeo-Christianity, I would say, is what we have done, because, yeah, we were taught that way too. But then if you look in the Bible, like the guy from wherever he was down south, he learned more in a short time, listened to Pastor Peters and his whole life in the Catholic Church. Now, you can go to church, sit in the pew if you want to, but open the book and look.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's the bottom line right there, no doubt. So, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Yes, and that's not a one-time deal, is it, Tim?
No.
To work that out.
There's new things to study.
Yeah.
There's been several times through my life I've had to change my mind or change my heart or whatever. It's like you look at that and you're like, that's what it says. And, you know, and swift change is on the way. It's like, okay, God, if that's what you say, I'm taking you at your word.
Right.
Here we go.
Right.
So
I know what you mean, Tim. I've done the same thing. And it changes your life. It changes your life when you do that. It changes who associates with you and who doesn't. And it should change who you associate with and who you don't. It does when you You know, it is a life-changing thing when you, you know, when you become that truth junkie that Pastor always talked about. You know, that's what he called his followers, truth junkies. Just wanted the truth. Just give me the truth. I don't care if it hurts. I don't care what it costs. Just give me the truth. And the truth is in the Scripture. Like you said, Paul, you know, don't take it from us. You know, we're just a guide to point you, hopefully, to that truth. Hey, like Tim said, you know, go back and look at Psalms 37:25, and look at that and see. And that's a truth of the Word, a foundation you can stand on that will help you through your life. It is. It's a blessing. And these 66 books are full of them. They're full of them. Well, guys, we're out of time. Goodness, the hour ran away. Thank you, men, for joining us, and hope you guys have a great and blessed weekend. And Remnant, we thank you for joining us, and we want to invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. You can do that starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain. That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And
this is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.